This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi there, folks. I'm Tom Perry, an Agile consultant, and like to introduce you to the world of impediments.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Tom Perry, and we're going to talk about those dastardly little impediments. Tom, you've been doing Agile for a long time. I'm told you integrate Agile with other approaches. Tell us about that.
So when I left Visa to go do consulting with Rally. So had a chance to go off and become one of the coaches for Rally. And that became Computer Associates shortly afterwards. They were acquired. And what they did day one was basically send me off to become an SPC, a safe coach trainer. And so I went out and did various and sundry engagements. And one of the things that I liked about Computer Associates at the time was they had salespeople that could get you into really big organizations. And so I was introduced to people at GE Transportation, GE Digital. These are monster organizations. And I couldn't do that, when I was consulting with smaller groups. And that was an incredible opportunity. So now I'm in the C-suite of these enormous corporations working with these folks. That was tremendously exciting. And so I got to do Agile transformations sort of at that very large scale. And that was a huge opportunity. The more I did it, and again, this is, back to the previous conversation, I screwed up a lot. There were a lot of things. I mean, it was utterly terrifying sometimes to go in front of some of these executives and to, with a straight face, tell them that you were going to transform their organization using Agile or Scrum or SAFe or whatever it was. It really, and everybody wanted a different variation. Nothing was ever completely identical. Even if it was SAFe, they wanted some tweak that would make it theirs. And so everybody in their own way had their own thing they wanted to do. And so you did it, and you did the best you could. What I started to realize was that it was an incredibly creative activity, actually, because the challenge was always different. I mean, even if you're going in with a single framework, you'll bump into stuff where you start having problems and you're like, well, this is where we might take some of the ideas from Less, for example, and mix them in here. Or maybe, people don't talk about mob programming and SAFe typically in the same breath, but you can. There's nothing to stop you from doing that. There's nothing to stop a team from adopting ensemble programming techniques. And so why not? And maybe that might add a little bit of spice, a little bit of something that makes it unique for that team and really fires them up. And, my experience is that an awful lot of folks don't feel like they're given something they can relate to. So they don't get fired up. They don't get energized. So you do these lackluster rollouts where everybody's told how to do the same thing the same way. And it falls on its face because nobody cares. And so I started to play with the idea of mixing and matching stuff. And I called it mix-ins at the time. But I think there are actually people now who are actually advocating this. And I think that's where Scott Ambler got some of his ideas behind disciplined agile development. It's very modular. It's basically designed so you can mix and match only the pieces you need. If you look at, I think it was Ivor Jacobson, who he's got his own method. And it is also basically just a pick your pieces kind of methodology that has various and sundry agile practices. So pull together the agile practices that will work best for you, put them into some sort of iterative framework, and off you go. And that kind of creativity I found super fascinating. And I do think that we're seeing some variations on that theme today. And I don't know if they'll ever take off. Maybe for some customers, they'll be perfect. Probably for others, it won't work. But I love that ability to sort of bring our own experience and creativity to the solution, whoever you're working with. Now, Some folks, I worked for like a very large bank that served the military, and those guys, they wanted it documented. It had to be written down. It had to be, you know, scrutinized and reviewed, and then they would issue orders and everyone would do it, you know, and that's how they operate. That was their culture.
Yeah.
That was who they were. And they were very, very happy with what they had. You know, was it agile? It's kinda, you know, so everybody's going to do it a little differently for sure. So that part I really enjoy.
So I'm hearing things like mix-ins, like ensemble programming, which is more like a technical practice, or maybe I'm going to speculate and say this will be come down to the Kanban versus Scrum ideas.
Mm-hmm.
What other mix-ins did you experience that were kind of weird and interesting?
Well, I am a big fan of open space. And so instead of doing traditional PI planning, for example, what if it was an open space event?
Yeah.
You know, it's not a huge leap, really.
Right.
You know, if you look at how, and I think that's what Quentin Quartel is trying to do with Fast Agile. You know, he really just kind of took Scrum and slapped open space on the front of it and said, okay, let's do an open space, sprint for a few days, then do another open space, sprint for a few days. And so he was mixing and matching when he did that. And I think that's a tremendous opportunity. Another area that is, I think, not explored enough is something called dynamic reteaming. Mm-hmm. So Heidi Helfand has her dynamic reteaming book, which I love. And in that, she describes different ways of allowing teams to decide two things. Who am I going to work with and what am I going to work on? And that kind of empowerment is wild. And I think it could be really, I think it could be the kind of thing that all too often we neglect. All too often. I can't remember the last time I was working on a project where somebody was able to decide what they worked on and who they worked with. By, you know, of your own volition, right? Without your manager telling you where you need to go or what you need to do. And I think it would build much better teams. And I think those teams would probably be much more highly motivated. And there's some actual experimental evidence to suggest that's true. Hmm. And so that, how would you combine that into a safe framework, for example? How would you do that? And I think with Scrum, Scrum's loose enough that it's pretty easy to see how you could do it. But I don't see why you couldn't mix and match some of those ideas. And then the question becomes, what ceremonies do you need to help enable that? Because you don't have them built into any of the frameworks, as I understand it right now. So, you know, what could you do to encourage that? And I firmly believe that if we were able to give people the ability to choose those things, that it might have a really transformative effect on the productivity of those teams.
You triggered a thought here. I had to quickly look it up. So you were talking about reteaming and SAFE. There's a group that does tribes with SAFE, and they're called... Yeah. Pretty Agile. I saw a talk given to him in Seattle maybe 10-ish years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of their secret. That's their mixing, or that's their thing. That's how they like to approach it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I'll have to check that out. That's pretty cool.
Agile Thoughts wants your help. However you find our show, be it through iTunes, Stitcher, or any of the other podcast aggregation systems, go ahead and leave us a review. Click some stars, and that will help us grow the show. Thank you. We've got show notes for you, and they include links to yummy things that we talked about in this episode. What are show notes? The show notes show up right in your podcast player if that's what you use to listen to the show. You just look into that part of your app, and you can click and tap away to your heart's content. But if you're not using a podcast player, don't worry, we're not leaving you out. Just go back to the website where you downloaded the MP3, and there you will see the show notes. The series started at episode 289. If you missed that episode, like my friend Forrest, you are in luck because you can find any episode that we have streamed. You just go to agilethoughts.info and there you will find a search box where you can find missing episodes. Next episode, more Tom Perry. Do you have interest in this topic called performance management? Sounds very serious.
It does. It does. Sounds very dry, very boring. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a complete failure, but it has the promise. This is getting at basically, you might call it agile management, and maybe it's my interest in agile management and that domain that got me into this. But what do you do? You know, I think the conventional wisdom is agile approach is performance management or reviews and bonuses and all of those sort of managerial HR sorts of things. What do you do to encourage that or to make, what are functionally, how can you do that with an agile team?